Blog Talk Radio.
Jehudi Wesley Gray, and I'm broadcasting live from New York City on Sunday, April 15th, 2012, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm grateful to be of service through this venue. I must share that I really give thanks to the One Most High, my ancestors, my guardians, my siblings, other family members and friends, and especially my mother-in-law and my wife. I am an interfaith minister, a Reiki practitioner, shaman, and a marathon runner, and also an internet entrepreneur. And I must share with you that I sell African drums from my website. The website URL is www.drumsofchange.com, and I do encourage all of you who are listening and to consider this site, my website, as a source for obtaining drums from Africa, from the motherland, that are of high craftsmanship and also reasonably priced, if I may add. I'm just so excited about this being the going into the second year of my site being up and functioning as a portal for purchasing drums. One of the reasons why I encourage everyone to purchase a drum is that it is my belief, and as you will note on the front page of my website, I give my mission statement, and part of that statement is that I feel that especially those of us of African descent should have a drum within a household with a designated drummer. And especially if we have children in the home, we need to make that one of the first things that we purchase for them in terms of for entertainment as well as for education. Because around the drum, there can be a conversation about Africa, about the history of Africa, about our culture, about our heritage. We can talk about the various spiritual modalities which emanated from Africa, so that indeed we can have a more holistic approach to our spiritual development and also the orientation as we serve and worship the Most High. So I would just like to share that information with you, and of course later on in the show and other shows to follow, we will expound upon the importance of having the drum within the home. So on our last show, we talked about and reviewed the book titled Spiritual Warrior, authored by Swami, the late very provocative and highly aware and spiritually elevated wisdom of Swami Krishnapad. I must take a moment also to just welcome my wife, my lovely wife. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about this evening's show.
So am I.
And I'm also excited about the prospects of you sharing with us some of the things that you, and well, that we've been talking about over the weekend.
Well, we've been talking about so many things. So we'll be doing a lot of sharing.
Yes, exactly. You had a great show this morning.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Well, you were part of it. You know, I liked that last question that you had posed to our guests. But, you know, anyway, I'll start talking about the show and I'll go off track.
Well, feel free, though. What was that last question? I'm sure the listening audience might be interested in it later on. If we have time, we can expound upon it.
Well, it was so important because the point you brought out and which our guest, James Goy Jr., we were all on one accord with the fact that when you're making changes in your life, sometimes you have to, without blame, as he says, disengage yourself from people that might have negative energy.
Right.
Because that can thwart your progress. So that was just really great that we were able to bring that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting that you would bring that up. And as everything is, we know, is in divine order, there are no accidents, just revelations that have already been prevalent and in line with the divine Most High's plan. So, indeed, this evening show, dealing with the importance of food and what we eat and how it influences our physical, mental, and most of all, spiritual state of being. And I'm just so excited about that because of the fact that many of us recognize the importance of a healthy, I don't like to use the word diet, I like to express it as a livid.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah,
you know, that we should have a perception of that food, and some cultures, especially those within the indigenous community, thoroughly respect the importance of eating the right things, because in some parts of the world, food is not in such abundance as it is here in our part of the world, in
Absolutely.
The Western community. I remember a couple of years ago, we were looking at an article of what a family in some communities eats in 1 week.
Yes.
And many of us here in our communities, here in the Western Hemisphere, what we have as one individual for one meal, some families they share our one meal with four other people in terms of the equivalents.
Yes.
And so they're very selective of the food that they choose to eat so they can sustain their body. And then, of course, we won't go into the area of water. You know, in some areas like our friend, our brother, Maladome Somme,
right.
and his family, how they have to travel sometimes a half an hour to an hour or more just to get water.
In Burkina Faso.
And just to hear him tell us his stories face to face, and with the energy and the emotion, sometimes it brought tears to my eyes, as in terms of how much we take for granted, and don't know how well off we can be. Even those of us who are receiving public assistance, and supposedly in need of. Of food and supplement and so forth, don't recognize that the equivalent of a family who's on public assistance or community assistance in other parts of the world may not have food for days, if not more than a week or so.
Exactly.
So we have a lot to be thankful for. Of course, equality has to be obtained relative to the environment in which we live in, and and most of all, equality in terms of justice. But I won't go into that area for this show. I don't want to digress. I just like to briefly state the overview of Swami Krishnapad. And Swami Krishnapad is a spiritual teacher. He was a spiritual teacher because he's now on the other side. He transitioned about 2005. But he was an author, a Princeton graduate, and director of the Institute of Applied Spiritual Technology in Washington, D.C. And he was a specialist in human relations and conflict resolution. And he had served as an international consultant to diplomats, both here in the United States and also in countries around the world. Various heads of state and the general public, heads of states being Nelson Mandela, from Muhammad Ali to people who live here and served here in our local state or here in New York City, the United States. I'm sorry, New York City, yes, USA. And he was a powerful speaker and an inspiring role model. As he toured the world, offering his message of love, service, and community consciousness to people of all nationalities, races, and creeds, and from all walks of life. Spiritual Warrior is a book that has been in my library for a number of years, and my wife and I introduced it to her a few years ago, and we took it off the bookshelf thinking that indeed that the time was right for us to delve into the rich and relevant information that is contained within the book titled Spiritual Warrior. There are other books. We have Spiritual Warrior 1 and also there's Spiritual Warrior 2. And I'm just going to delve right into the essence of the topic of food and how it isn't so important in nourishing us, both body, mind, and spirit. And he says that most people do not remember what happens during their dream state. And he states that one useful technique to help you retain your dream experiences is to be still when you're awake. But once you move your body, you integrate back into the physical dimension and you lose contact with the subtle REM. And when you awaken before getting out of bed, immediately reflect upon your experiences of the night before. And if you wait even 5 minutes, you will forget. And some people keep a journal by the bed to record what they have dreamt. Now, he states that the food that we eat and when we eat has an effect on our dreams. And, of course, a lot of us know that our dreams have an effect on our wake state. So he says that it's important for you to remember that when the body tells you to sleep or rest, it does so because it needs time to rejuvenate itself. So with that in mind, we recognize, he states, that you have to get proper rest, which will help all aspects of existence. And our eating habits have a significant impact on our lives, too. He says that if you eat healthy before going to bed, your body has to work harder to digest the food. It does not get the rest it needs, and thus you are more likely to experience negative dreams. He states that we should try to eat no later than 3 hours before laying down. And if you want to maximize the nourishing benefits of sleep, you should try to go to bed before 10 p.m. He says the most important hours to nourish the body through sleep are between 10 and 12 at night. Some of you who sleep a lot and still feel tired should try altering the hours of sleep. And if you want to sleep fewer hours and still get quality sleep, then sleeping in between 10 and 12 at night is best. He states that we should consider your state of mind, your consciousness, before going to sleep. This is extremely important. He states that we should also make a commitment to spend at least 15 minutes spiritualizing your consciousness before going to bed. Read something spiritual, listen to spiritual discourse or music, or engage in discussion on a spiritual topic. Push aside the chaos and the confusion that were a part of your day and focus on spiritual reality. And in this way, you will prepare yourself for the next 6 to 8 hours of sleep. And if you allow yourself to focus spiritually, you will provide less of an opportunity for negative elements to enter your dreams. And you can then most benefit from your sleeping state. So, you mentioned, my wife, that the show this morning we were talking about association. And
yes.
Some of us who, and I'm not going to get into the fact that both of you, both of us are vegetarians. I've been one for going on 23 years or so. You now going on 6. And there's
6 full-time
without any deviation.
Right.
That, yes, everyone cannot be a vegetarian. You know, it can be a task. But we can always, should I say, tweak and work on altering our diet, the type of food that we eat. If you must eat meat, let it be not pork. Let it be not meat with a lot of fat. Let it be preferably fish. And if it is fish, let it be freshwater fish.
Like salmon,
yes. Because you have the omega-3s and other types of oils and nutrients and enzymes and so forth.
They're not scavengers. They're not feeding themselves.
Right. They're not scavengers.
Harmful.
But most of all, I know that salmon can be eaten, you know, can be consumed in a very fresh state.
Yes.
So that it's not a carcass. You know, it's not dead meat.
Right.
So, but aside from that, the best food to eat, of course, is fresh vegetables and fruits and whole grain and nothing that is white. I had posted in Facebook this afternoon the fact that there was a video on sugar and how sugar is such a detriment to our overall well-being.
Yeah.
And so many people are addicted to sugar. So I'm just so excited about the fact that this knowledge is now becoming prevalent through this medium of networking vehicles such as Facebook. And we have MySpace and, of course,
Twitter. Awesome.
Yes. So the person who was featured in the video was stating how sugar acts like a drug, very much like heroin and cocaine, in that sugar releases the endorphins that are in your brain, which causes you to have this good feeling. And thus, when we eat more and more of sugar, and even its substitutes, and that includes honey and other types of things that we feel are very safe.
Yes.
But they have a certain amount of sugar content in them. And then, of course, they've taken away sugar sometimes, and they have now fructose and corn syrup as a substitute. And he states that the body begins to develop a tolerance for these additives, which are basically derivatives of sugar. And as we consume this, we want to eat more and more to get the same feeling, which is the high, which is the calming effect and so forth. And thus, as we eat more, we gain weight. And as we gain weight, then we have other problems. We have
illness sets in.
Right. We have the high blood pressure. We have the diabetes. You know, just a whole host of things that happen to us, to say nothing of the least of our mental state of mind. It causes mood swings, anxiety, and being in a state of anger, low self-esteem, just on and on. So the aspect of having a healthy diet or live it so that your body can be a healthy reservoir for food that is uplifting and of a higher taste, and thus also allowing you to be able to grow spiritually and be in tune with the Most High on the level that the Most High desires you to be. And that is to be in a state of as much egolessness, to eliminate that ego so that it gives room for your heart to open up with the essence of love and compassion. I wanted to have Queen Mother share with us this information about something she found about earlier this week about oregano. Could you share with us
oil
of oregano? Yes.
Oregano is such a immune system booster.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that attracted it to me, and I'll tell you where I found out about it, because it's important to have as many resources. At least here in New York City,
mm-hmm.
I know it's a nationwide show, but I don't know what channel or what time other places, okay? But here in New York City, in the mornings during the week, I watch a program on television called Know the Cause.
Uh-huh.
And the host of the program, Doug Kaufman,
yes,
purports that fungus is the cause of just about all of the diseases and ill health conditions in our bodies. But he had a guest this week. I don't remember the guest's name. I'm sorry. But he had a guest on the show this week who was talking about overcoming allergies, especially, you know, obviously during this time of year when the pollen count can be very high. And he said to purchase oil of oregano. And as you know, I was suffering from the hay fever and that type of thing, you know, for many years. And I said, you know, let me try this because I'm all for natural cures. Last year, as you remember, I basically just suffered through it because I didn't want to take anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, when I heard about it, I Know the Cause, I said, you know, let me go and purchase it. It's a liquid. And he said the way you administer it is 10 drops under the tongue.
Right.
And I haven't, well, you know, I'm not one for using the full dosage of anything, even if it's a natural cure.
Mm-hmm.
Until I see the way that it reacts with my body. So I just tried 2 or 3 drops, and it really works. It zapped up the sneezing, took away the itchy eyes, and this was after the first use. So basically the information that I got, it was real, and it worked for me. Now, will it work for everybody? I don't know, but the program that I listened to where I got this information is a very, very reputable program which has been on for years, and the author has written several books, and, you know, so I was able to trust that. So I guess, you know, to just wrap it all up and make a long story short, when we use natural remedies, it's important to, A, not only do your research, but, B, consider the source.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to try that because it was a reputable source.
Right.
And then with my own research, I was able to just put the information together. I know that oregano itself, you know, I cook with it. I know it's good for you as well as tasty in your food.
Right.
So, you know, just logically, administering the oil did not seem like anything detrimental to me. I figured the most that would happen would be maybe it wouldn't work, but I knew that it wouldn't be anything harmful because we cook with oregano.
Right.
So it's just when we're talking about health and we're talking about these herbal remedies and natural cures and these, a lot of it can be common sense as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is common sense. But I am, you know, I am now an advocate of oil of oregano. And if you research it on your own, you'll see that you'll see there's so many cures, so many things that it's good for. You can apply it topically if you have aches and pains and swelling and bruises and things
like
that.
Arthritis.
It's an antibacterial. If you go camping or cut yourself or, you know, those type of things, you can administer it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just follow the directions, because, you know, I could spend the whole show time talking about it, so I'm just really going to cut this short. But
absolutely.
Oil of oregano,
absolutely.
It works.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yes,
thank
you
so much for sharing
me.
That. Yeah, I'm happy that I remembered that we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
And you were so excited, and I didn't want to, I would have been remiss to not have shared that on the show. And I want to thank everyone who's in the chat room. I want to thank all of you who have called in. And, of course, if you'd like to speak with us, press the number one button if you have any comments and questions or just some thoughts that you'd like to share. And, of course, that applies to those of you in the chat room. I thank you so much for sharing your Sunday evening with us. So that was, that's interesting, that oil of oregano.
Isn't it
interesting? Yeah, very interesting.
And it assists in helping the body rid itself of cancer.
Oh, isn't that something?
It works
right.
To help lower your blood sugar. You just have to, you know, take charge of your life, everybody.
Yes.
Take charge of your life. Google these things. Research these things.
Absolutely.
Get a naturopathic doctor.
And I must I must say that I am not a doctor or a medical physician or any title that alludes to me being a professional health expert, and my wife is not either.
Neither am I.
So anything that we share with you on the show, we suggest that you consult your doctor or whoever it is that gives you medical advice from a professional level. We advise you to do that. However, we will share with you those things that we have found to be applicable and worthy for us to use to assist us in healing and maintaining our health. So I just have to share that with you.
And I'd like to add that anything that I recommend or suggest, I don't really recommend because I'm not a doctor, but anything that I share, any health information that I share, you can feel comfortable in knowing that I personally either use it right now or I've used it in the past. Otherwise,
right.
I wouldn't tell you about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I myself happen to be a marathon runner, and I've ran 14 New York marathons, and I'm always talking about the importance of drinking 8 glasses of water. And my wife talks about that as well. And
half your body weight. It's
yes. Half your body weight. Okay.
Consume daily in water.
Absolutely. And we have to hydrate the body.
In ounces. Ounces. We want to clarify that.
Okay, in ounces.
Ounces. Right.
Okay. So, yes, it behooves us to really be in tune with what our body needs. And water is one of the first essential things that we need. And we tend to think that because we're drinking other liquids, such as coffee and tea and soda and just a host of other things that are in a liquid form, that will suffice for the amount of liquid that we need in our body. But we need actually pure water, H2O, to hydrate our bodies every day so that we can assist the body in maintaining its health and also healing itself when it's in need of a healing experience. So, again, one should drink. My wife and I have been doing research for the last year or so, and there are various schools of thought of using sea salt with your water. I think a pinch of sea salt for every glass that you drink, and that supposedly has a way of maintaining your body's proper pH, so that those of us know there's a school of thought that maintains that if your body is in its proper pH balance, that allows the body to get rid of any toxins and to maintain its health, along with eating having a certain food input. So, indeed, if you're drinking certain things, such as soda and other fluids, caffeine, anything that has caffeine in it, that can take your body into an unhealthy pH balance. And thus, that can be a precursor to illness. So the water piece is something that we're going to be sharing with you at every show that we have on Sundays. Indeed, the title of the program is Grassroots Holistic Health. And I encourage everyone to do their own research. And when they come on the show, or if you listen to the show, to share your knowledge. Because this is really a community effort. You know, we all, I believe in the adage, the adage of each one, reach one, teach one. So my wife shared something with me earlier this evening dealing with herbal safety guidelines. And it states that before using an herb you are unfamiliar with to find out its medicinal properties, research it thoroughly and consult with an appropriately qualified practitioner or expert. And if you're taking prescription drugs to have a medical or you have a medical condition, check with an appropriate qualified practitioner. Google the information. Just, you know, do your due diligence. Because, you know, medication, whether it be pharmaceutical or herbal, have shown overwhelming evidence that they work. However, the herbs, of course, have showed evidence that they work. And just because a small amount works well does not mean that more is better. And as individuals, we all have difficult constitutions, sensitivities, allergic reactions, and possible health conditions. And following are merely guidelines. They include herbs offered on our websites, and the list does not help with the administrating. But this is a website which is called www.healthy-health.com. So I recommend that website to you. My wife was very excited about coming upon the location. It talks about supplements that may interact with prescription and over-the-counter medicines. Questions such as, should I check with my doctor or health care provider before using a supplement? Some supplements can have unwanted effects during surgery, not to be used during pregnancy or if you're nursing, and not for persons with a history of kidney stones, liver disorders, and renal dysfunction, and other types of inflammations, and then a host of other areas that are covered. So this is something that I think we should always have readily available as a reference to those of us who want to maximize the health of our body. So I'm going to take a short break, and when I come back, I will continue reading excerpts from Swami Krishnapad's Spiritual Warrior. Drawn into the superfluous, the having more than needed having this sense of entitlement and just really getting carried away with the whole mode of how we live from day to day. So it's books like this, The Spiritual Warrior by Krishna, by Swami Krishnapad, that really brings us back into a proper perspective in terms of how we should conduct our life on the physical plane, most importantly, starting with what we eat. He says that much research has been conducted on psychic phenomena and continues to this day. The former Soviet Union has invested millions of dollars in their best institutions for training psychics and how things are done from an experimental point of view. And America, too, has invested much time, money, and manpower in the military using psychic energy. And great amounts of money and the most sophisticated technology are being used in the area of espionage. And if intelligence specialists really want to discover something, they have the ability to do so. And practically any electrical appliance in your home can be used to gather information about you. He states that in the world today, there is an increasing polarization between those who are focused on manipulation and exploitation and those focused on spiritual growth and inner development. We are in the midst of war, not a physical war, but a war for the control of our minds. And this subtle warfare is much more serious than any external war of physical confrontation. This mental war is far more intense and insidious. The world is at its worst and best right now. It is its worst state because everything is in disarray, and there is little politically that is stabilized economically or sociologically, and the government's ability to control is crumbling. And there is an impending economic crisis, and political underhandedness is at an all-time high. It is a period of great unrest and danger. And many countries have stockpiles of chemical and nuclear weapons, and like frightened children, their nervousness and fear can manifest in widespread destruction. And this is the best of times because it is a period in which to access our spiritual growth and make great progress if we desire. Everything is available at this juncture to allow us to become fully dependent on the Lord. So he talks about, and let me just stop there for a minute and reflect on that, what I just read, that if we desire, everything is available at this juncture to allow us to become fully dependent upon the Lord. And that's an interesting piece there, because there's so many of us who are going through the experience of recognizing, especially those of us of African descent, that there is alternative ways of developing a spiritual relationship with the Most High. And my wife has shared some things with me, and not until I met her, that I knew about but didn't delve in that much in certain areas of spiritual awareness and spiritual development. And, of course, she said that about me as well. And I think that is the basis in terms of how we should perhaps develop partnerships and become as one as man and woman, as husband and wife, in a committed relationship, that we delve within the areas of spiritual awareness and spiritual modality of life that is not universally practiced here within the Western Hemisphere, that we go back to our African roots, that we recognize the fact that it's very real in terms of having a relationship with the Most High via our ancestors, that we use various modes of ritual that have worked for thousands of years. And, of course, even the offerings of food to the deities, to the Lord, for purification, to offer and give thanks, not just to say grace before consumption of food. We know that in certain religious areas, in certain religious communities, that if you do eat meat, it has to be halal, it has to be kosher. One doesn't just randomly go to a local chain, food chain, and purchase meat and just eat it without any level of consciousness of where that meat came from, that it was an existing, it was a living being, an animal, albeit, but a soul. So those are the things that we have to understand. It's so important to do our research, to avail ourselves to certain books such as Spiritual Warrior, so that we know that our present state of mind is not by happenstance. You know, as I stated earlier in the book, in the chapter I was reading, or the paragraphs that I was reading before I got off the tangent of the sort with the thought I'm sharing with you now, that there are certain elements within the society that know that if we have a certain lifestyle, namely I'm talking about the type of food that we eat, the way we eat it, the state of mind that we're in when we eat it, that they're able to exercise a certain amount of subtle, if not subtle, overt control of how we live our lives. So we must remain cognizant and be prudent about how and what we eat. And when we eat it also, as he was stating earlier when I started to show, that there are certain times of the day, if not the evening, where we should eat and allow that food to digest so that when we go into the dream state, when we fall asleep, that our dreams are healthy dreams, that our dreams are able to give us revelations. Yes, my wife was just touching upon earlier this week about the alpha, beta, and theta state, which was very profound. And we're talking about the super consciousness, the consciousness, the subconscious, all of those different words and different wordings that mean the same thing on various levels. And of course, I'm not sure, but hopefully I can touch upon it before the end of the show, but Swami Krishnapada talks about the addiction of looking at television and listening to the news on the radio, the types of music. Maybe that's an area that I'll cover right now, which I think really could have a very profound effect in terms of how we understand our psychic defense, the need for psychic defense based on what we consume. He states that the more you identify with your mind, the more you can become susceptible to mind intrusion. And although you have been conditioned to see your mind as you, your mind is actually not you. You are the user of the mind in the same way that you are the user of your shoes, your coat, and your sweater, or whatever you happen to wear. You are the person who makes use of your mind. Whatever you use is not you. It is actually the soul that uses the intellect, the mind, and the body. The mind is constantly engaged in accepting and rejecting stimuli in its environment. Your environment, particularly your immediate environment, largely determines what your mind grabs and holds on to. And in most cases, the mind is your worst enemy because your mind has been conditioned to tell you that you should go after whatever your senses desire. Your mind has been conditioned to tell you that as long as you are identifying with the basic functions of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then there is nothing else to worry about. That the mind tells you to be, is not the real you. There is a greater you, a greater potential within yourself, within the soul. So how do you handle the mind? And he states that a powerful technique is to treat your mind as another person who is speaking to you. And when your mind starts telling you things that are unhealthy or untrue, when your mind starts giving you grief, when your mind starts causing fear, when your mind starts arousing anxiety, don't accept these thoughts. You can better reject them if you have already realized that there is a distinction between the mind and you. Always remember that because you are separate from the mind, you can evaluate what the mind is dictating to you. And this practice will help you when you are the target of mind intrusion and are not easily responsible and are not really responsible for the mental energy that is being imposed upon you. You will act with wisdom because you will be able to recognize what is occurring. And as long as you identify with the mind, you immediately act upon what the mind dictates. The mind will control you instead of the opposite. It will cause needless complications. You must constantly evaluate what is going in and coming out of the mind. Someone who is thinking of you is entering into your mind, your mental space, and in most cases, people are not thinking loving thoughts about each other. If you are spiritually advanced and have enviable qualities, you are particularly at risk. All kinds of people thinking envious thoughts can make you a target of lust and exploitation. It is as if they are feeding on you. You really have no idea of all the thoughts, the energy, or the life forms that you are carrying around with you. Your consciousness will determine which concerns will be the dominant ones that you hold on to and accept. And most of your reality is based on how you codify things. Don't accept your thoughts as if they were the truth. Otherwise, the mind is going to enslave you. So that brings me to think about those of us. That's interesting, because on the weekends, from Friday to Sunday, many of us are consuming intoxicants, alcohol and drugs, eating foods that we shouldn't be eating, making ourselves very susceptible to thoughts, just inner thoughts, which may not be healthy, and of course to being impinged upon by others who are thinking envious thoughts or thoughts that are not healthy. So it says a lot that rather than one day being used as a time for worship, whether that be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and to have a connection and relationship with the Most High, one must condition oneself that you have the relationship of your highest self every day or during the day or during your waking state so that you can be as Swami Krishnapad states, be able to be a witness. And I've read that before. I was sharing that with my wife some years ago, reading a book by Wayne Dyer. And Dyer, the book titled You'll See It When You Believe It. We talk about that a lot, right?
Yeah.
And he talks about being a witness of yourself. And he even goes beyond it. He says, witness yourself witnessing yourself. And it's something like what we do when we hear someone talking or we're in the company of another person or many other people. We sit back. And we tend to analyze, we tend to observe what we're seeing and what we're hearing. But we also know that at times we're able to do that with ourselves. We have that inner voice within ourselves. And if you're not intoxicated, if you're not in a state of ego, you know, in terms of having your ego inflated, or being in a state of ego presence, but being in a state of spiritual presence, that you're able to observe your inner thoughts and monitor those thoughts, understanding that the way that if you have negative thoughts coming within your consciousness, that by prayer and meditation and affirmation, that you decide that those negative thoughts, that you're not going to fight them, but you're going to make an invocation that they cease being part of your emotional consciousness and spiritual consciousness. And those negative thoughts eventually, as we know, will leave. But it's so important that we practice that as much as possible. And another thing we were talking about this morning on your show and was the fact that with James, we were talking about people, places, and things, that thoughts create things. And to not be around people who have a habit of exuding negative thoughts. Because we nurture our spirit, not just our body in terms of what we eat, but also what we digest emotionally and mentally. That can affect us.
So there's a lot to say in terms of what we eat, what we consume, you know, on the physical level, on the mental level, and the spiritual level. I believe in the concept of unconditional love, but I also believe in the concept that we should take care of ourselves before we can take care of others. We should love ourselves as much as possible before we're able to love another. And part of that love, the self-love, involves us treating ourselves as lovingly as possible. And first and foremost is being mindful of how we feed ourselves. Number one, the body in terms of proper nutrition. So my wife and I are also very excited about this time of the year, spring, and she brought that to the marriage of me being very much aware of the various periods of the year, the equinox. What are they called, honey?
Well, we came out of the spring equinox.
Right.
And we're approaching the summer solstice.
Yeah, yes. So in the spring equinox, we get into a mode of cleansing and preparation. And, of course, going into those various periods, it behooves us to do the research in those areas so that we know that, indeed, as Mother Earth goes through her reaction to what's happening within our universe, that indeed that we are affected as human beings on this earth, as spiritual beings on this earth, and we should try to be in tune as much as possible. Okay, so we have about 9 minutes remaining. Again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening, and I want to encourage that you share with those in your circle about our show. I must also share with you the fact that Queen Mother has her show every morning, every Sunday morning, and at 9 o'clock. And you can go to her website, which is www.spiritchange.com, and of course on Blog Talk Radio. What is the title of your show?
New Spirit Talk Radio.
New Spirit Talk Radio.
But if they search Queen Mother Spirit Change, though, the show will come up.
Ah, yes. And next Sunday's show is an exciting show. You have a guest that you're inviting again who's been on once before.
Well, William Stokes is returning to us. He is a very prolific professor. He's going to be speaking on the New World Order.
Ah.
Looking forward to that.
That's the New World Order.
Yes.
But not in the the context that people normally...
not in the least.
When we hear New World Order, we usually think of this year, 2012, things transitioning and so forth, and other secret societies. No, it's not going to be about that.
No.
I really tune in Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, to find out what Brother William Stokes will be talking about. And I must say that on the following shows, we have the opportunity to explore perceptions and values from a holistic platform. And as we discussed today, this evening rather, the book authored by Swami Krishnapad, The Spiritual Warrior. In future shows, we will be discussing books by Dr. Amos Wilson, The Falsification of African Consciousness, Dr. Joy DeGray, The Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing, by Dr. Wade Nobles, and the development of a theoretical model by Dr. Naeem Akbar, and lastly, The Psychology of Slavery by Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and Post-Traumatic Slave Disorder. I invite you to become a fan on Facebook by keying in to Baba Wesley Gray, and also I encourage that you join 1 Billion Drummers for Global Peace. The site has been up now for about going on a year, and I'm very excited about this coming summer that we're going to become more proactive in encouraging the 1 Billion Drummers for Global Peace to really spread the word, those of you who are already members and those of you who will become members. One of the things that I do also pray for, and I'm looking forward to the re-election of President Obama. Our prayers have continually been sent out to him and his family, his lovely wife, Nicole, and Michelle, rather, and their two lovely daughters. We encourage that those of you who are able to go out and vote, and regardless of what party you may be a member of, but to encourage your family members and friends in your circle to definitely to go out and vote. I specifically and I'm leaning, of course, towards my brother, our brother, Barack Obama. My wife also offers free introductory metaphysical workshops here in the New York area. And if you're interested in learning more about her divination and candle work and meditation workshops, she can be accessed, all that information, on her website, spiritchange.com. And she also conducts a free support group for those diagnosed with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. She has recovered from diabetes and going on, I think, the third year now, and she has incorporated a holistic and spiritual approach towards the healing from diabetes and other illnesses that are derived from one who becomes impacted by that particular illness. The support group is built on a holistic and spiritual principles, and she distributes a holistic remedy for diabetes, which she personally uses herself, and it is available for purchase in person in the New York City area or online at the website, thenewdiabetessolution.com. So you can contact her for more detailed information, and she will be more than happy to share that with you. Again, I'm looking forward to continuing next week reading from the book titled Spiritual Warrior by Swami Krishnapad. And I must also state that those of you who are just tuning in or haven't heard me mention this before, but I choose to feature books such as Spiritual Warrior because I found the book to be very informative, books like this to be very informative and inspirational, and also I have the gratitude of sharing this with the listening audience, those of us who in various communities do not have access to books because of lack of a bookstore or a library, those who are confined to their beds, those who cannot read, those who are blind. There's a host of reasons why it's advantageous for them to tune in to this show. And, of course, there are those of us who have the intent of sharing the books that I feature in the various book clubs and also to add, make it an addition to their private library. I'm just pleased to be able to use this venue as a source of that. So I just want to thank you again for tuning in and this of this energy. So I close by again thanking the Most High. We give this evening to you. Our minds, may our minds continue to stay centered on the things of spirit and goodness, and may we not be tempted to stray from love. And as we begin this week, we open to receive you. We ask that you enter where you already abide. May our minds and hearts be pure and true, and may we not deviate. May we see the love and innocence in all mankind behind the masks we all wear and the illusions of this worldly plane. Most High, we surrender to you our doings this evening. We ask only that they serve you in the healing of the world. May we bring your love and goodness with us to give unto others wherever we go, and make us the people that you would have us be. Direct our footsteps and show us what you would have us do. Make the world a safer and more beautiful place. Bless all your creatures and heal us all and use us, dear Lord, that we might know the joy of being used by you. We thank you once again. We are grateful. Namaste. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. One love, peace, and blessings, and God bless to you. Thank you.